Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Comedy Concepts with your host, Nancy Lombardo.
Hello, hello everyone. Welcome to today's episode. Today we have a special guest, Chris Kirsten, transformational film stage and television actor. Studied method acting with Charlie Lawton and a longtime mentor of Al Noah. Chris holds a degree in psychology from the College of William Mary. And what I like about this guy is his versatility, role ranging from offbeat comedy and comedy. He currently has a movie, and I just screened it. Fantastic. It's called Cost of a Soul. So why don't we start by giving you a little taste from Cost of a Soul. All right, did I have a little technical difficulty? That's okay.
You left me here pregnant and alone. Want to meet your daughter or what?
The medals, you get them when you do something good.
Can you do something good?
No.
So what's it like? What, Iraq?
Yeah, you know, war.
It's a lot like here.
Instead of Glocks and Techs, they got AKs and RPGs.
My brother!
It is good to have you back, man.
I know he's your brother, but he sells poison to kids.
After all Ma's been through trying to get rid of that, you're just tearing down everything she worked for.
I need something done. I know it's a bad time, but I need it done just the same.
Whatever loyalty I had don't exist no more.
I brought you up, I took care of you, I took care of your family.
Don't ever forget what I'm capable of!
Let's just go. Leave. You know, get out for good.
I kill people. That's what I do.
You got a pretty nice looking family.
What did you do?
You put a family into this?
I'm just trying to help my family.
I've cashed in enough blood, salt, paychecks to know I'm going to have to pay for what I've done. Wow. Excellent. All right. Let's bring Chris online. Here we go. Cost of a Soul is opening May 20th, by the way. And let's bring the... Here we go. Chris? Chris, are you there?
I'm here, Nancy. How are you?
Okay. Good. You have your cup of coffee? You ready to go?
I think so.
All right. Chris, the film, it's terrific. Now, this is Rogue Relativity. It's a hard word to say. Relativity Media Company, and they're promoting it. This film has garnished numerous awards already, and it's opening tomorrow. I mean Friday, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the film did the festival circuit over the last year. It played at Cinequest Brooklyn.
I got to start because first off, Chris, you did a phenomenal job. Your range from beginning to end in the film was phenomenal. It was riveting. I was like, whoa, where is this film going? And by the end, I was like, oh, I was on a roller coaster. I want to say some of the awards here. Official Selection of Brooklyn Film Festival, Original Selection Hollywood Film Festival, San Antonio Film Festival, Cinequest, Dances with Films, Official Selection HBO, National International Latino Film Festival. Oh, boy, Rehoboth Beach Film Festival, Toronto. This is quite a lot. I'm kind of excited for you. Before the film is even off the ground, you've got awards. This is amazing.
Yeah. I'm glad you got the list in front of you because it's hard for me to keep track of it all after a while. But, but well, I guess we, We also won Best Film at Cinefest, where it did its official premiere of this cut that once Relativity got behind the film and invested back into it. So we won Cinefest as well. You know, we had a red carpet premiere in Philadelphia about a month ago. They're saying this is the biggest independent film to come out of Philadelphia since Rocky, actually.
It's pretty amazing. The quality of the film, the writing is excellent. I mean, there's some wonderful, I have to say, monologues in there for actors. It's like almost every actor in that film has his moment.
Oh yeah, it's a great ensemble. I mean, Sean Kirkpatrick has an incredible eye towards casting and working with his actors. I mean, all the actors were good working actors who had done great work on stage and film throughout their career, but ironically, none of them were, you know, in terms of big Hollywood films, names. And Sean's eye towards casting, he brought out all these phenomenal actors who turned in the performances of their careers, you know, and all the reviews that have been coming back on the film constantly talk about how impressed they are with the ensemble and all the acting across the board. So.
Oh, yes, the views, let's see, let me see, I have them in front of me, actually. Let me read some of them. Cost of a Soul Thrills, the first feature from Sean Kirkpatrick, a rising talent, that's HBO. Haunting imagery combined with unforgettable performances and a powerful writing directing debut. I mean, it just goes on and on. Rarely do you find a film with such a level of credibility as Cost of a Soul. All the characters were so real in it. All the characters were scary to me, and just an undercurrent of malice and how you can't escape your past. Now,
well,
how did you began? I know you've done numerous films. You've got numerous stage credits as well, and you came to this film, and it seems like you brought all your years of experience to this. This one
that
culmination, you just said, everything I ever learned, everything I ever studied, I am bringing to this film.
That really sums it up really well. You know, Sean talked about when we talked in conversation about it afterwards, before Relativity stepped in and we got, you know, in 50 AMC theaters across the country, we were talking about our experiences on this film. And Sean was saying, because this was his first feature, you know, that he was working off of instinct. And I said, you know, instinct was a part of it for me, but, you know, I've developed this craft over the last 15 years that I've been working on stage and film and all different independent films, a lot of them lower budget, and, you know, playing all these different characters for years. I mean, transforming, going up and down 65 pounds, working on stage, obviously some of our better New York stage actors. I mean, I had really developed a craft. So Sean gave me one of the best showcases I'd ever had to use that craft, because he gave me the lead in a film, the ability, again, because 3 weeks before we were supposed to shoot, when I was cast, I physically didn't look right to play Tommy Donahue. I was not this character yet. And Sean, based on my experience and seeing the prior work that I had done, trusted that he could give me the lead in this film and say, okay, Chris is going to become Tommy Donahue, which is what happened. And
it's amazing. It's not just you know, a special shout out to your lead actress as well, because you have some amazing,
Jerome,
intense scenes together. That's Judy Jerome.
Yeah,
she's a New York actress.
Judy and I go back a little ways. We both studied with a great acting teacher from the Actors Studio named Marcia Halfrecht, who was one of my mentors here in New York. And Judy and I were in class together for like 10 years. We've worked together at least twice on stage and performances. And it just so happened, I said, listen, will you take time off of your work schedule to come in and screen test with me for this role? And she's like, yeah. And she was actually notified that she got the role 5 days before we were supposed to go into filming. I mean, it tells you how talented she is. She just brought it. And it was the greatest actress to work with for me, because it was very easy for me to step in and say, I can accept this person as my wife, you know. And I've heard a lot of people, that's the feedback we've been getting, is everybody says, you know, it's so apparent that you guys are husband and wife. It's just felt, you know, not even being said, you know. And, you know, I love working with Judy Jerome. As Al Pacino calls acting, you know, the high wire. I'll get up on the high wire anytime I can with Judy Jerome.
Oh, yes, she was. She was fantastic. And what was also great about the film were the, I would have to say, the moments when you weren't saying anything, the cinematography.
Yeah. Yeah, no, no. I mean, most, so much of Tommy is in what's not being said. You know, he's not, I mean, some of the other characters might actually have, I don't know if they do, but they might have more dialogue or words in the film. But, you know, I mean, Tommy's on film constantly, and it's always going back to what he's thinking and what his inner life is. So, you know, Daniel Day-Lewis, I'm a big fan of. And he talks about, with Martin Scorsese, the ability to articulate what's not articulated, you know. And I know Sean's being compared to Martin Scorsese, at least the Philadelphia Inquirer has compared him. And, I mean, that's what we were going for, is this person that we could feel what was going on and we understood him without him necessarily having to say anything. You know, we knew where he was coming from. And that's a gift. You know, Charlie Lawton said to me years ago, God is in the details. So I went as far as I could with Sean to create a character that, as soon as we hit the film, without us pushing it or having to show it or anything like, or indicate it, people were going to feel all those level of details towards who he was before he even spoke. So,
well, you had a couple of intense moments in the film. Can you share a little bit with that? I mean, there's a part where there's, I don't want to give it, without giving anything away, it was
sure,
a very physically demanding, as well as emotionally demanding film for you. And it was just, how many days did you film this film over? Because I would have been a wreck and in the hospital with as much as you had to do.
Cool. That's cool. No, Sean shot the whole film in 19 days, which is crazy for a feature, 19 days. I mean, the budget on the film was $100,000, but it looks like a $10 million movie.
It's amazing. Not only that, there's an almost film noir kind of opening to the film.
That's the style he was going for. That's what he's all about. That's his favorite type of filmmaking.
I would have to say, actually, film noir meets Quentin Tarantino.
Okay.
Would be my comparison to that.
Okay, I'm all for that. As far as the demands from me on the film, as you were asking, you know, I worked 16 days on the film, and I never had a day that went under 12 hours. A lot of them were 16-hour days. I didn't sleep. I mean, I probably slept about 3 hours a night the entire time we were filming, because as much as I was on set 12 or 16 hours a day, so much of what added to that performance was the preparation I was doing before I got to set. You know, that was, everything was in that preparation. And then I was very fortunate, because the guys from Kensington, where we were filming in Philadelphia, and people from around the areas of Fishtown, used to take me out to breakfast early in the morning and hang out with me sometimes on set late at night, because they wanted so badly for me to get the authenticity of Philadelphia and what they were about. And they invited me into their homes and introduced me to their kids and talked about their lives and their problems and everything. And, you know, I spent all the free time I had with these guys.
Philadelphia, I just want to make it clear, because I want to be fair to Philadelphia. This
sure.
was the dark side of Philadelphia, not the, you know, the tourist side. This was the dark side of Philadelphia.
When Sean wrote the film in 2007.
It doesn't represent all of Philadelphia. That's all I want out there.
Oh, okay, you can say that. When Sean wrote the film in 2007, Philadelphia was considered the murder capital of the United States. There were documentaries you can see on YouTube where they call it Killadelphia. And so Sean was now in Los Angeles, and he spent about a year or so writing the film because he had perspective on it. His father was a higher-ranking police officer in Philadelphia. Sean set up surveillance cameras in some of the worst drug-infested areas in North Philadelphia. So he was trying to relay the type of crime experiences he saw and knew about while he was there. And, you know, it's true. I mean, the neighborhoods we shot in, I mean, first off, I didn't see too many police rolling around where we were. And they certainly weren't, I mean, not to knock the police, but they weren't protecting us when we were there. I mean, it was the community that were in those areas making sure that while we were filming, nothing happened to us, because we were shooting in the worst sections of Philadelphia, especially North Philadelphia. And Sean and his producer, Ed Eberwein, went out there and developed these relationships with the community where, as Sean called it, the knuckleheads, these former guys that spent a lot of time in prison, but now the neighborhoods looked up to, were kind of looking after us. There were four murders committed within a week of all the four locations that we filmed in that film. There's a scene in the film where Will Blago's character lands up hitting a drug dealer, and he's on a slate, and he's hitting him on the concrete. And there was it turned out, I think 3 days before that scene was shot, we didn't even know until after we filmed it, a drug dealer had been killed right there on that very same location.
Oh, so yeah. It's amazing. It was reminiscent to me of a lot of films from the 50s, like The Darkness, of the characters, like On the Waterfront.
Mm. And oh, that's a great comparison. Thank you.
And that there was such a, like you, a voyeuristic kind of quality to watching these dark characters. And when you thought, oh, nobody could be this bad, and then you go, oh, my gosh, yes, people can be this bad without feelings,
yeah.
without heart. And just, it was incredible. I was thinking about Judy, and in your performance with her, she reminded me a lot of Michelle Williams.
Okay.
You know, I got that. I said, gee, she kind of has a Michelle Williams kind of quality. Heath Ledger's wife from Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah, yeah,
and
well, that's a great comparison.
I kind of got that feeling that, wow, she really, without saying anything, downplays it a lot. There was so much emotion going on there. And a lot of that film, the greatness in that film is what's not being said.
Yeah, I mean, to give Judy credit, you know, I think Sean was very reluctant to cast her for a while because she's like, you know, upper middle class Manhattan. And he thought she was too attractive and not rough enough around the edges and not edgy enough to play that part. And I said, you know, Sean, give her the character. She's from the Actors Studio. I mean, those people can do some of the best work you'll ever see on film and stage. And I said, just, you know, if you want to change her quality, give her an animal or something very method to work on, and you'll see. And sure enough, I mean, she developed quite an edge for that. Some of the street friends that I have that have dealt with the world of drug dealing and stuff like that watched her and thought she was that. They never pictured somebody that, you know, be doing cocktail hours in the Upper West Side or something, you know.
And
from
and
watching.
Even Will Blagrove was excellent.
Will
as well.
Blagrove, yes. Will Blagrove is the next Will Smith.
He was great. Very handsome.
Yeah,
very handsome actor. And
great
again,
looking guy.
The script is so good and the character driven. That it's wonderful, and Mark Borkowski was great.
Oh, I love Mark. Mark's one of my best friends. Ironically, the role that Mark plays in the film, I was originally that's what the film they originally wanted me to play in the film was the Irish gangster Jake. Mark is one of our best playwrights in New York City. He's from the Actors Studio. He's one of the most sought after playwrights in the Actors Studio. I call him like the Hell's Kitchen Sam Shepard because he's a great actor. And he writes plays.
That monologue he has about the landlord
was fantastic.
Yes, I can see actors stealing that for their auditions.
I auditioned with. That's the monologue I had to do for my audition. Yeah, that was, they were going to bring me in to play Jake.
It's a great monologue. It's a great monologue. And it's like, it does, everything comes full circle in this without giving anything away, but it's so interesting, and just when I thought, I was like, oh, no, and then I was like, oh, okay. And another, let's mention Greg Almquist.
Now, Greg is like old school. I mean, that's a guy who worked with Mike Nichols, and I mean, he went work with some of the great, great, great directors.
Woody Allen, Bill Alexander, Royal Shakespeare Company.
Thank you. You've done your homework, yes. and he was something on a set. I mean, he was something. Like, you know, people were talking about how in it I was, you know, never really stepping out of Tommy Donahue the whole time we were filming. Greg was the same way.
Yeah, well, you didn't have time at 14 hours a day.
Yeah, that's true. But, like, Greg was the exact same way. You know, our interactions, he never broke character. He was always, you know, busting my behind while we were doing what we were doing. I never met Greg Almquist. I never knew who he was. I mean, I only recently at the screening in Philadelphia did I get any time to meet this, like, very sensitive, very articulate, you know, phenomenal actor. I mean, Mark Bukowski, who's a great reference to theater, said he's doing Richard III in this piece. You know, he just chews up the scenery.
He scared me. I'm going to have nightmares about him. And then we would be remiss if we didn't mention Maddie M. Jones.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Maddie is the heart of the film. She's the heart of the film. She looks just like him,
which was ironic to me. I was like, boy, she looks just like him.
Yeah.
She has your eyes.
Thank you. No, I wish she was mine. She's the most emotionally intelligent young woman I've ever met. You know, I don't even want to call her a child, even though she's only 11 now, and she was 9 when we were filming. And
she has a slight problem too, right?
She has cerebral palsy. She has the disease that Sean originally wrote that character to have. The most amazing thing about this, one of the most amazing
things
about
this film.
You would
never know it. I did not know it until I read this. Watching her performance, she was so adorable. Watching it was the only way I knew. I mean, but watching it, you'd never know. This kid is such a little candle of light in your film.
Oh yeah, she Sean wrote the part for somebody with cerebral palsy to play about the age of 6 to be my daughter, and Maddie, because of the illness or disability, is smaller. So she had a younger quality. She had done handicapped theater outside Philadelphia for a while, the handicapped troupe, and this was her first feature film ever acting. And
she did amazing. We've got about 8 minutes left, but I want to get to chat room. They want to know in the chat room, what's the most important personality characteristic needed to be a successful actor? That's a tough question.
It's a tough question. Well, I mean, it has to come down. The first thing that comes to mind, stream of mind for me, is stream of consciousness, perseverance. I mean, you have to just keep sticking it out, and you have to keep working on your craft, and you got to be willing to explore and risk and throw yourself into as many roles as possible and just keep working and working and working and working. Perseverance. Dedication, discipline, those words would come up too.
The dedication. All right. Also, I want to get in to find out more about Chris. You can go to www.chriskirsten.com. And also, let's just give a shout out to Rogue Relativity. I apologize. I'm going to say it right as a song. Rogue Relativity Media Company for coming and bringing this film out into the light. You can go to www.iamrogue.com. And to find out more and get more information and see the trailers to this film, because once you see the trailers, you're going to want to see this film. That's just a given. And where's it open? Give us now the opening information.
Well, it's opening in 50 AMC theaters across the country. If they go to the I Am Rogue website, or it can be, they can find it also by going to Cost of a Soul, CostofaSoul.com. There's a theater section there, and I'll tell you the 50 AMC theaters that's playing across the country and the ones that are close to
that is amazing. A lot of theaters. I mean, for a low budget, not a low budget as it's a bad thing, but for not a high budget film, I'll put it that way.
Okay.
Not a high
budget
film that it's opening in AMC theaters. Now this is a major market opening around the country.
To put it in perspective, The Fighter opened in 20 theaters across the country. Black Swan opened in, I think, 8. We're opening in 50, and we have a $100,000 budget. So, I mean, that tells you how much Relativity believed in the film and what they thought of it.
Well, and I will tell my listeners out there, if it's the 20th, May 20th, okay,
right.
Everybody, May 20th, check the listings in your local area. See if it's opening. If it's not opening, say, why isn't it opening? And go support it the first day, because that's the most important day. That first
Amen,
day that everybody goes.
If
and
we
tell
get
your
a lot
friends
of people
about
the theaters,
it. Put the word out there.
If we get a lot of people in the theaters that opening weekend, they're talking about going to 100 screens, which means that then a lot more people will be able to see this film. It's one of the most important things that's ever happened in independent films, that a film at this budget level, you know, still with a high production value, but at this budget level, gets this type of theatrical release. It's bringing us back to the days where Scorsese was doing Mean Streets. You know, it's really important for the state of cinema right now that a film like this get pushed and seen, forgetting all the selfishness.
And with good actors, relatively not household word actors, but very good actors. And it also brings to the point that there are very good not named actors, actors you may not know who come from stage and transition to film like you have, but you do have a lot of films in your background as well, but this is a major film for you. This is a major.
Yeah.
How do you feel? How does it make you feel to know that, wow, Friday, I'm going to be in 50 AMC theaters? How do you feel about that, Chris?
Well, I think the main thing is it's just like I'm so happy that this is the film that the public's going to see of my work, you know, probably on the largest scale. You know, I mean, it's like it's a character I felt just about the closest to that I've ever been involved in. And I put so much into it that, you know, it's an amazing turnaround to say, okay, I don't know how many people, 50 theaters across the country gets into it, but this is the part that I just felt like my whole soul came out in, and now so many people across the country are going to be able to see it. It's beyond words. I couldn't describe it. It's got to be one of the greatest experiences of my life. So.
And I don't want to give anything away because this is a multi-layered film, and it's just character-wise, the script is I love the script, and the director is also the writer.
Yes, he is, Sean Kirkpatrick.
And this is his first film, is that correct?
This is his first film, but after this one, God willing, I think we're going to be hearing a lot about him. So.
Oh, definitely, and you're going to be hearing a lot about this film as well. It's opening May 20th in 50 AMC theaters nationwide. Rogue, a Relativity Media company, presents Cost of a Soul, this award-winning film. And, Chris, you're going to be hearing a lot about you, Chris. I don't know how anybody's not grabbing you up right now because you should be on every law show that's on every you have such great depth on so many levels. And the abuse your body took in this film is amazing. But every cast member is a standout. They just stand out. Every member of the cast is a standout actor.
No, I appreciate that. Yeah, my body appreciates you acknowledging the abuse I went through, too. I gained 25 pounds in 3 weeks for this role. You know, to look like a special ops Marine, I had to gain 25 pounds in 3 weeks. And that's the story of my career. I've gone up and down, like I think I said it before, 65 pounds playing character roles and changing appearances so often. My body's like, oh, no, can we just take a break every so often? You know, are we going to do this again? Okay, here we go. We got another challenge. Here it comes. And Cost of a Soul is definitely one of the biggest challenges of my career.
And that's opening May 20th. You can go to the website, which is easy way to remember it, is iamrogue.com. And I highly recommend this film to everybody. And please, if you see it's open, just check. My listeners who are listening now, just check and see if it's opening in your area. And call to see and make sure that, you know, create a little buzz. Help Chris out here. Chris, we have 2 minutes. Is there anything you want to add?
No, I can't emphasize to people enough that this particular film, how important it is to cinema. I mean, you look at what's happening very often in cinema these days, and, you know, films are all about what star is in it and what type of box office draw do they have in the previous film, and we're rehashing scripts a lot, you know, and bringing back stories that have been done 20 years ago, and, I mean, this is an opportunity for, you know, like you said, relatively unknown but very, very, very talented people to get their work seen, and if this film does well, then God willing, they'll be looking for more films like this.
Well,
and
Chris, I predict you're going to do very, very well after this film comes out, that people will, you will be getting those phone calls, www.chriskirson.com and www.iamrogue.com for more information. Check out the trailer. It's worth seeing. I highly recommend this film. Comedy Concepts loves it. And Chris, wonderful job. We're down to 60 seconds, and I'm trying to find closing music for this, Chris, and I think I found this is appropriate here. And it goes in a shout-out to all our men overseas as well. Chris,
yes, please.
Thank you for being a guest on the show today.
Thank you.
And good luck. Cost of a Soul, ladies and gentlemen. Check it out. Great film. Great acting by Chris Kirsten. He's a transformational actor, people. You're going to be hearing a lot about this guy. And best wishes, Chris. Best wishes.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you so much. Shout out to our troops. Check out this film, Cost of a Soul. a Rogue Relativity Media Company, and at 50 AMC Theaters, people, 50. Check it out. And check out Chris Kirsten. You're going to be hearing a lot about this young actor. A lot, trust me. Thank you for listening to Comedy Concepts. Have a good day.